Brian, Nico, Mike, and Dustin. Surprise, surprise. My character's name, Lighthammer. A great movie, vampire movie, Blade 2. Yes, I'm trying to think of a little story maybe that happened while we were filming. Well, we filmed Blade 2 in Prague. A beautiful city. If you've never been, you need to go. It's an amazing place. And we kind of lived like vampires. We worked all day, great cast, amazing director Guillermo del Toro. And then at night time, we partied like vampires. So we had late nights out, you know, great fun. Anyway, hope you're all well, fine and dandy, having a great day. And I just need to say something to you. Don't go out there. Don't go out there. Just remember, life is short. None of us are here forever. So, make sure you're having fun and enjoying yourselves. Okay? You take care for now. Don't go out there.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie
Welcome back,
Podcast.
Everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast. Just want to thank all of our fans and listeners. We really appreciate all support. You guys are awesome. Before we get into tonight's film review, I just want to give a quick shout-out to our website, don'tgooutthere.com. My man Brian has done a fantastic job with the website. He's got it looking great. Everything about our podcast is on there. All of our episodes and interviews from episode one to our weekly release. If you want to check out all of our episodes there, maybe you have an office job, don't have access to your phone, you can listen on your desktop computer. We've done some incredible interviews in the past with some of the biggest names in horror, some of your favorite slashers, writers, directors. Check out our interviews if you haven't heard those yet. We got our store. We got some new t-shirts. Brian and Dustin have done some fantastic designs if you want to check those out. And we also have Shan's Etsy page attached as well if you want to grab a Tumblr. And we also have our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. We love interacting with our fans. We love, you know, meeting new people. We love answering your comments and questions on the air. So definitely check us out on social media. And the last thing I want to shout out is our Patreon. We call it Blood Donors. We have the traditional monthly reoccurring kind. You're a big fan of our podcast, a big fan of our show. You want to help support us, that option is available. And we also have one-time donations. If you want to donate and, you know, if you have a film review you want us to do, that option is available as well. All right, guys, let's jump into the film review. We're going to be concluding Mike's theme, sequel month, tonight with Brother Dustin's pick. Dustin, would you like to announce your pick and why you picked it?
I don't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. I went with a movie that came out in the spring of my eighth grade year. Yeah, I'm that old. Blade 2. So this movie is very nostalgic for me. So I'll just go ahead and say it. Like I've said it before, nostalgia only holds so much power over me. But when it hits, brother, it hits. I had a hard time finding criticism of this fucking movie, man. I love it so much. This is the best vampire movie of all time. One of the best comic book movies of all time / Marvel movies of all time. Probably Wesley Snipes' best movie of all time. This is a fucking classic. I went with 2002's Blade 2.
All right. I'll go next. I don't feel the same.
Shocker.
Respectfully, surprise. Of course. Respectfully. It's not like I hate the movie by any means. It's just not my cup of tea. And y'all aren't surprised by that. So, I mean, it's not out of a place of... It's not like I'm about to go full Cloverfield or Three from Hell on this movie or anything. Definitely wasn't terrible. Had some fun action scenes, but I did think the movie was a bit too long considering what we got. But, you know, it was worth this watch, and I'm just going to let Brian and Dustin enjoy this one forever. I don't know how Mike truly feels, but I'm sure I do know how he feels. But, Brian, I'll let you go next, brother, to be the positive, uplifting one again.
I love how it was my freshman year in college, and Dustin said eighth grade made him seem old. So, okay.
There you go. That's why I call you Gramps, buddy.
College back then? That.
Yeah, they did. Fuckhead. I agree with you. This movie's been on my list for a very long time. No secret, I'm a big comic book movie fan, and this is my favorite comic book movie of all time, if that tells you anything. You know, we said it during the Blade 1 review. this franchise was so important to Marvel. Say what you want about Iron Man starting the MCU, but this franchise, I think, saved Marvel first. I've said before, my favorite types of action movies are, for example, Tears of the Sun, Aliens, Predator, Predators. Yeah, things like that where a group of mercenaries are picked off like one by one in just a balls-to-the-wall action flick. And so you're telling me I get that, directed by Guillermo del Toro, written by the amazing David S. Goyer, fight scenes from the amazing Donnie fucking Yen. It's rated R and vampires. I mean, if you don't think I would like this, do you even know me? Obviously, going to be a love fest from me.
Okay. So I feel the exact same way about this movie that I did about the first Blade. Although I'd already seen the first Blade, this one was brand new to me. Okay. So y'all know the rules. First time watch, first time notes. That's how it works. Anyway, there are things about this movie that I like. The act, like, I think Wesley Snipes is good. I think the visuals are really cool. I wouldn't use stunning, but they're cool. And overall, it's entertaining for what it is. Okay. It's just not my cup of tea, man. Like, I can't, I have a really hard time getting into the plot. And so that's a struggle for me. I felt all of that 2 hour runtime. Or close to 2 hour runtime.
How do you compare this to Underworld? Because I know you liked the Underworld
movie. I did. That's a really good question. I will say, this one's probably a little more fun than the Underworld franchise. And by the way, I have plenty of positives throughout my notes on this film, okay?
Right.
I just, I feel like Underworld, for me, had a better story, but it's a very similar story. Like, you know, the vampires versus this other group. Like, that's kind of a very similar plot line. Hey, man, I don't really have a good answer for you. I think sometimes when something just clicks with me, it does. Now, you know, I just like the ones I've seen better.
I got an answer for you. Underworld doesn't have a Marvel tag. This one does. That's all it is.
No. I like that little short movie that you made us watch that I can't remember the name of now. That was fun.
Werewolf by Night.
Yeah, that was fun as fuck, man. See? There you go. Anyway, I swear I do have a lot of positives throughout my notes. I do. But I'm not an action movie fan. And this movie has fight scene after fight scene after fight scene after fight scene. And I'm like, God damn, is there like it? There's a point in the movie where I forget the story and we're just fighting each other. And that would normally be badass, except for that's just not my cup of tea. Like, I don't like those Jean-Claude Van Damme movies or Steven Seagal movies or anything like that. That's just not my cup of tea. And I felt like this had a lot of similarities to those, but with vampires. I will say, I find some of the story elements interesting, but I just had a hard time staying with the plot the whole time because of all the fight scenes, man. But again, Snipes is great. I think the look of the vampires and the like street urban stuff is really, really good. It's just, for whatever reason, I just can't sink my teeth. Pun intended. Can't sink my teeth all the way into it. That was an accident. That was totally off the top of my
head. I know this is not a visual medium, but I want everybody to picture the fact that Dustin right now has a movie prop of the actual Blade sword right now, holding it in a threatening fashion.
Yeah, because I'm about to drive from Knoxville to South Carolina and handle some business. Mike's over here talking about a classic.
I want to give it a compliment really quick. And okay. I think this lets me know that this movie just isn't for me, but I can recognize that it is good for what it is and really good to the people that enjoy this kind of movie. When they do the horror elements, I like it. Like, they do when the stuff that is what I would consider traditional horror, when it's there, I'm a fan. Like, there's some really scary shit with the vampires and the infected ones and the way, you know, they eat the others. Like, I really think they nail that stuff. It's just some of the other stuff just isn't for me. You know, it's really bad comparison, but just follow me here. It's like eating beef tartare. Have you ever eaten beef tartare? Okay. where it's like, I can recognize that this is really good and fancy, and this is like a really good dish, but it's not for me. You know, like, I'm not going to shit on beef tartare or escargot or, you know, caviar, but some people like that shit. Not for me. Not so much. Not eating fish eggs.
I didn't even know that was a real thing. I thought they just said that on 50 Goes West. Beef tartare.
Okay, I will tell you what it is, Brian. It is pieces of beef that are like cooked barely on the outside and then mushy raw on the inside in chunks.
It's almost like pureed beef. I had some in Chicago at Steak 48.
It's not fucking awful.
Gross. No, it was gross, but I was so hammered.
It had a really bad texture to it, man.
It's the texture I didn't like, but I was so hammered I ate that shit up.
All right. Now, you just said something on Twitter about me. That's not fair, because what is my favorite aspect of pro wrestling?
No, I want to let tell the viewers or the listeners know what I just tweeted. Quote, too many fights, distracted from the storylines. And my tweet was, quote, Mike, a wrestling fan, talking about Blade 2.
What's my favorite aspect of pro wrestling?
Bra and panties matches, we know, but that doesn't apply
here. The storylines. I like cinema, the bloodline. I like Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon. That's what interests me in wrestling. A good match is great. I like a good match, but you know, you try to get me in a corner there. Nobody puts Mikey in a corner. All right,
man. Just quoted Dirty Dancing.
My family called me Mikey growing up. Don't shake your head at me.
I'm talking about you quoting Dirty Dancing and then changing it to your name like a weirdo.
Okay,
I'm so dumb, guys. I had my mic muted and I kept talking. I was like, why are they not acknowledging me?
Acknowledge me.
No, I started saying, like, I want to acknowledge Brian's question about Underworld. Then you started doing your rant about the wrestling. I was like, well, fuck me then. All right, Rainy. No, anywho, I was just going to say, I got three words, Michael Sheen, Lucian. No, I really do like Lucian in that series. He's a character I like. I just really enjoy he's got like a good character arc. But I don't know. I just enjoy that storyline in Underworld more than this one.
Yeah, I think
I'm with you, Mike. All the fighting stuff that goes on in this one, I kind of forget what the fuck we're even like going after. Like, cause it's just like Blade fights people. Blade gets a message. Blade fights people. He meets people. Blade fights more people. Like, what are we doing right now? All right. Blade fighting people. All right. That's cool. But I get lost in the sauce in this one.
Hey, Dustin, is this not the NWO storyline though? We have the original group. Then he has to join up with, you know, people he didn't like. Now they're the Wolf Pack. Then people turning on each other. They're going back to the black and white. This is literally the NWO storyline here. Yeah. This was a bad storyline, by the way.
Nico, you said Blade fighting people, Blade being cool, Blade being a badass, all this. You know what Blade doesn't do? Blade don't pay no taxes. Shout out Wesley Snipes. Go ahead.
No, he don't.
Y'all ready to jump to the scene by scene? You got any more opening thoughts? And this movie is kind of like Morbius. Whenever I did just my analysis, I felt very out of my comfort zone doing scene by scene on this one, because I felt very lost, but I did my best, and that's all you can hope for out of somebody. All right, the film starts at a blood bank in the Czech Republic. A guy tells Nomak they buy blood here and there's no limit. A lady takes Nomak back and asks him questions about his tattoos, his scar, and family past blood results. His blood has a rare phenotype. They put him on a gurney and folks puts on some Freddy Krueger looking claws. Nomak sits up and begins biting the woman's neck until the guard shoots him. However, no effect, and he throws him into the wall. He tells the camera he hates vampires. Opening credits roll as Blade narrates. Vampires exist, but he's a daywalker. He's got all the strengths, but none of the weaknesses. He's on the hunt for Whistler, and we get a title card. Blade is chasing some men down an alley, shooting them, killing them. A couple escape on street bikes, but the exit is blocked, and they drive towards him. He cuts one's head off with piano wire and grabs the other, saying, "Take me to him," and pushes his head through the bike's spinning tire. Blade uses the man as a decoy and begins killing the others with gunshots. Blade gets into hand-to-hand combat now, kicking a lot more ass. He points at the decoy man, saying, "Catch you later," and walks away. Blade finds Whistler, who's being kept in a chamber. He lets him free and picks him up, saying, "Let's go home." Scud offers him a smoke and sees he found Whistler. Scud wants to kill him now, but Blade gives him a detox shot. He tells Whistler in the morning the blinds will open whether he's cured or not. Blade unboxes a gun and relives a moment with Whistler, handling the gun and walking away. Blade opens the blinds and asks Whistler how he feels, like hammered shit. All right, Brian, that's the opening set of scenes. What'd you think? And I hope I did it justice.
Yeah, sound good, man. As always. I love the cold open. I love how we're in Prague with this movie. I think that's a perfect location. You know, most of this was actually shot in Prague, as you can tell, but the architecture there is just absolutely perfect for this movie. It's so gothic. I loved it. It's so Guillermo del Toro. It's, you know, I love how we're introduced to our villain right here, right off the bat. Nomak. Like, apparently they wanted Morbius to actually be the villain, but Sony had the rights to him, so they went this route. And I fucking love that they did. He's perfect. His design is perfect. Steve Johnson was the creator, or as the creature and makeup effects designer. Del Toro said that he loved his initial designs and tests when he was originally attached to The Lost Boys. Review an interview with The Lost Boys at don'tgoother.com. But Del Toro loved them so much that he based his designs here off of that original. Del Toro also said in the DVD commentary that the idea of their skin and seeing the veins come from his fixation with the mutants from 1970s beneath the Planet of the Apes, which actually I have never seen. And I thought I've seen all most of the Planet of the Apes movies, but
skip it.
Oh, gotcha. But this opens badass. You know, I would 100% hold those shots on my fingers like Freddy Krueger, just like my guy did here too. I mean, it's like those chips, those bugles. Like, it's kind of like that, where you just something like, yeah, you just have to do. Now, the credits, I'm not a fan with the voiceover. I mean, come on. I mean, it's Blade 2. Did you really need that? The answer is no, you did not. It was like the opening to an 80s TV show, I thought. But anyway, I have the... I did think that the visuals were good. So if you have the visuals without the voiceover, that's my only gripe there. This was 2002. I think the effects more than hold up for the most part, at least here too, in the set of scenes. The shot of him jumping off the building, that slow motion, you know, and the following the bullets into that vampire, where I thought just chef's kiss. Useful Companies is the name of the company used for all the digital work. It sounds like a troll, but that's the name. And again, shout out to Donnie Yen for the fight choreography here. So much better than the first and third one, in my opinion. Truly a masterpiece in regards to kung fu and the fighting that goes on in this. And the last thing I'll say is I love seeing Norman Reedus. It's crazy how young he is in this. Still almost a decade till Walking Dead comes out. So the only thing he'd been in this point to this point was really Boondock Saints. And on that same note, and look, I love Kris Kristofferson as Whistler. I hated seeing him die in the first one, but I kind of wish that they just went with the Scud route and not had the twist his dick at the end of this with Norman, Norman Reedus, whatever. Whistler's death meant something to me, and bringing him back kind of a little bit cheapened it a little bit. I don't know, because I mean, it's like now they have a cure, but only for him. Like, you see what I mean? Anyway, awesome open.
Yeah, I love the visuals right out of the gate of this lab, tunnel thing, whatever you call it. I do like, I'm sure that was on purpose, this little nod to Freddy Krueger here with the needles, knives, things on his hands. I thought that was a fun little tip of the cap. I actually disagree with Brian. I like this intro with the voiceover, because as someone who's not a big fan of these films, it lets me know what the story is and what we're in for. I actually thought it helped me out quite a bit. I was a big fan. And the visuals were great, so I appreciated it. Some of the CGI looks pretty rough here in the open. You know, of its time, I'm not really like, not, it doesn't really knock it down a peg for me. It's just something I noticed. But I do think Snipes here in the open, he does a great job of playing this badass vampire Street Fighter crossover. Like, he is great. Whether what he does the whole film is my favorite thing is one thing, but I, you know, big kudos to Wesley Snipes here. I think there's a cool kill with the head coming off while riding the motorcycle. I love that. Question, did I miss something? Are they snorting dried, like, blood? Coke laced with blood? What are we snorting here? Pixie sticks? They're snorting something red. And I was like, if that's Coke laced with blood, that's fucking hardcore, brother. That is fucking hardcore, and I can appreciate that. Suckers got to know on that. Look, again, we talked about it in the open. I will try not to harp on it, but it's just something I kept noticing throughout the film. All of this is fine, but like, I'm waiting for some of the action stuff to get over, because I want to know why they're having the action stuff in the first place. I want to get to the actual plot and people talking to each other. I just thought it was funny because he said, hey, I'm going to find this guy. When I find him, I'm going to kill him. And then he didn't kill him. And so I thought, well, okay, got him. The movie's over. No, he's not going to kill him. I will say, for entertainment purposes, I love that Whistler is alive because he was my favorite character from the last film. So I'm glad to see him back. But I understand what Brian's saying for sure.
So great feel in the open. The blend of silence and public mixed with the subtle score is very great and effective to me. And then, where'd you get that scar on your chin? Lady, I'm glad you asked because it looks like the seam on a ball sack. Sorry, someone had to say it. I know you all were thinking it. Did it not? Great blood splatter when he sinks his teeth into her and the action is off to an incredible pace here. Brian, I disagree as well. I love the narration from Blade in the opening credits. Like, it just makes it feel like a series open. And to me, it's just so unique and well done. And it gives us a good brief recap of the first movie. Then again, yeah, I'm probably biased. Like, I love this movie. And so it was, maybe it's just that. Maybe I just love it so much that I liked it. The score when we first see Blade had a very video game-like feel to it. And it's perfect for the scene that we get with some action. One criticism I do have in this movie, though, is the CG. It's less than good, but I forgive it because it's of the time. And again, I love this movie. Perhaps the most puzzling thing about this movie is Buddy's haircut when Blade enters the room with the human shield. It may have looked like cornrows, but no. I'm pretty sure he just had lines shaved in his head instead. The fuck was that guy? When Blade takes out a sword to cut down Whistler, man is extra as hell. Those twirls were so unnecessary. Like, I laughed. It's like all he had to do is pull a sword out, cut him down. But no, he gave it a few twirls. Show off. Cool seeing a young Daryl Dixon here. Like you mentioned, this is before the Walkers took over the world. Now he's friends with a Daywalker. Neat. Maybe it's nostalgia, but I don't care. I love this open just like I love the whole movie.
Hell yeah, brother. Say it with your chest. Whistler asked how Blade found him and how long he was gone. Whistler says they tortured him to almost death and didn't even fix his leg. Scud introduces himself and Whistler asks, why is he here? Whistler and Scud argue until a motion sensor goes off. Blade and Whistler get weapons to look for the intruder. Blade appears having the guard lights turned on and sword fights the intruder. 2-1 now against Blade, and the man yells they are only here to deliver a message. Blade has them remove their mask. Asada and Nissa reveal themselves, saying they are offering a truce and want to meet with him. Something even worse than him is roaming the streets. The helicopter lands and Blade and company enter the building. Nissa opens a door and shows him where the true power of the vampire nation resides. They show Blade the virus has mutated and overtaken Nomek. He feeds on humans and vampires. The issue is the victims don't die, they turn. They estimate over 100 Reapers will be turned by the end of the week. Scud doesn't trust this and is worried about Whistler. No one goes cold turkey in one night. Nomek lures a drug dealer over and attacks him, drinking his blood. The other Reapers feast on him as well. Nissa tells Blade they are ready when he is, and he meets the blood pack. Reinhardt asks Blade if he can blush, and the others pull their guns until Nissa orders them to stop. Blade puts an explosive in the back of his head that will detonate if they try and remove it. Blade says they will look for the prey to find the hunters. First place to scope out is the House of Pain. All right, Brian, so next set of scenes, what'd you think?
House of Pain! Sounds like a tag team or a stable. But a little Easter egg here, if you'll notice with Scud, the shirt he's wearing is the logo of the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense. And that's a reference to the comics and Del Toro's Hellboy. Also a movie I don't like, but moving on. Such a badass fucking fight scene with Blade and Nissa, especially with Snipes holding that sword one-handed and upside down. And then the 2-on-1. Hell yeah, Donnie Yen. So badass. I love the line, "You're human. Barely, I'm a lawyer." Great fucking line. Honestly, this is my second favorite set of scenes in the movie. I love this introduction to the fucking blood pack. It's so 80s to me. It's so fantastic. Big shout out to my man Daz Crawford Lighthammer, who did our intro for us. His girlfriend Verlaine, fun fact, was originally scripted to be the twin sister of Raquel, the vampire in the OG Blade that was played by Tracy Lords. But Tracy couldn't film, so was replaced with this new character. Priest Tony Curran, you may recognize as Marcus from Underworld 2. Donnie motherfucking Yen, double dipping on the movie as choreography and the motherfucking snowman. Chupa being played by my man Matt Schultz, Vince from Fast and the Furious. Then, of course, Ron Perlman, who is, of course, just a legend of the business, although I'm not his biggest fan, but I'm sure that's a hot take. He plays a damn. Really? Okay, good.
Not a hot tape with me, at least.
Okay. He does play a damn good bad guy. That, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of his stuff anyway. You know, he does just about as good a job as anyone there is playing a bad guy. And I do love him in this. Him and Snipes have a great back and forth. In fact, he was originally written as a full on neo-Nazi that was toned down, but his line to Blade here asking if he could blush was added by Snipes himself based on a real life racist life experience that he had. He wanted to put that in to add, you know, add to the antagonism between the two guys, and it worked. It's just such a badass scene, exchange, introduction, and just the added flair that this blood pack was made and training for 2 years specifically to take out Blade, and now they have to work together. It's such a fantastic plot point to me. Now you've got an explosive device stuck to the back of your head. Del Toro said in the commentary that he loved that line, and by God, I do too.
Okay, my man Whistler here. Shout out to Chris Hoverson. Like the music, like the acting, good stuff. The Highwayman, right off, baby. Let's go. Anyway, he looks like Kurt Russell in those Santa Claus movies here, though. Like, he really, really does. Like identical to one another, in my opinion. Anyway, hey man, the Powerpuff Girls on the tube. Scud is the man of the people. Back in the day, love Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Laboratory, Cartoon Network kid, man. I love the blue lighting here, you know, and I like these like stealth looking vamps that kind of come down here. They have a badass look to them. They look like little bats. I guess that was the intention. I thought it looked pretty cool. And then we get another long drawn out sword fight. God damn it, man. We're already back to fighting each other. Like, okay. Whatever. I will say, to get into this building, you have to have needles stuck into your hand. What happened to a good old ID badge, man? Just a little swipe at the door. That's all we need. You don't have to penetrate my skin to get into a fucking building. That's a little tough there, man. I will say, as much as I love the aesthetic of this film, and I think it adds to it, living in a big city, this is just, God, this place looks fucking disgusting, man. I hate it. By the way, Snipes, and I say this anytime I see it, Snipes is fucking jacked here, man. Snipes was on that Triple H 2002 juice, man. He was pretty jacked here, which is funny because Triple H is in the next one, correct? I think so, right? He's in the third movie. Okay, cool. I will say Snipes is great in this scene where he's confronted with the team that had been trained to take him out. I thought he was witty and quick. I love the character of Blade here. And it really felt like the first time in this film where the character had a little bit of depth to it and it wasn't just fighting people. So I enjoyed that part quite a bit.
Yeah. my bad. When Scud is watching the Powerpuff Girls there, it was originally written for him to be watching an episode of Speed Racer. However, the owners of the domestic rights wouldn't allow it. Lame asses. I used to love Speed Racer as a kid.
Go, go, Speed Racer.
Scud not trusting Whistler with a gun was funny to me. Daryl has trust issues too. It's a common theme from Norman Reedus' characters. When Blade is fighting the suckheads, he's just so casual and cool, just an ultimate badass. And the light wall behind him provides a dope backdrop for a great visual. You know, Assad and Issa could have avoided the whole fight, though, if they didn't come in gooned out wearing masks. Kind of sent the wrong message if they were just there for a truce, idiots. The first look at Damaskinos made me think that he looked like a mix between Death and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey and Emperor Palpatine. That's just the vibe I got. I laughed at, what do you think? Sounds like a plan. What do you really think? The fuck is the first chance they get? Great lines there. And, you know, I get the primal instinct of just needing to feed, but biting a male's neck is just a little sus to me. If I was a vampire or a mutant vampire, I'd have to target females only. I don't know, man. I just couldn't get that intimate with a man.
Hey, man.
You turned me into a vampire. I'll let you bite my neck. That's cool. If you want to bite my foot, that's all right, too. I need to be a vampire.
It's just me. No, if that's more power to you, if that's your preference, just not my thing. Then just talk about asserting dominance. Blade made Reinhardt look like a baby back bitch twice and then stuck a bomb in his skull. Wowzers, I love that. another good set of scenes here that establishes our story. I'm all in.
Man, Dustin wasn't kidding about nostalgia. Man said wowzers.
Wowzers.
Inspector Gadget.
Our Blade asks, where's the entrance? And Nissa says, because of him, they had to tighten their security. Whistler hands out guns, and Blade tells Whistler to stand on the roof and watch their backs. Nissa leads him into a nightclub, and the vibes are immaculate. Blade plants a camera so Scud can watch on. Reinhardt pulls a Jason Lives and puts a red dot on Blade, but Blade is onto him with his own red dot pointing back. Assad alerts everyone he spotted one, but lost him. Scud's van shakes, and he goes to check out what happened. Scud radios for Whistler, but we see he's missing. Nomak appears suddenly, capturing one of the blood pack. Scud exits the van with guns drawn. He sees four Reapers, who all charge him, but he manages to shut the van doors. Blade finds Nomak, and he puts a bullet in his head. The Reapers begin to attack in the club. Scud tries to drive away, but the van won't crank, of course. Gunshots are flying everywhere in the club as the blood pack fight off the Reapers. They realize silver has no effect on the Reapers. A Reaper opens its mouth like Jeepers Creepers and bites a blood pack fighter. Scud gets the van lights on and kills one. Scud radios to them that to all use their lights, they can't take it. They tell Blade daylight is coming and he's on his own. Nomak says, why kill me? We have the same enemy. And the fight commences. Blade uses his sword to reflect the light onto Nomak, and it burns him, causing him to flee. All right, Brian, it's the next set of scenes. What'd you think?
This nightclub scene is 100% my favorite in the movie. It's so badass. First of all, it's very cool to me, plot point and world building wise, that the vamps have had to change up their glyphs and habits because of Blade. I thought that was a nice little touch. And look, the slow motion walk with the blood pack, with that Mos Def song Against playing, like, I'm not sure that you could get more badass than that. That may be the peak of badassery right there. I'm sorry, I don't think that's possible. What I'm not sorry about is that I used to actually own and work out to the soundtrack from this movie. So there's another fun fact. Him running into that vampire rush from the open and him freaking out made me snicker some for sure. And could Blade's cameras be any fucking bigger? Like, I mean, he just attached a full-size security camera to the side of the column. Like, yeah, this is good. It made me laugh too. And the back and forth again with Reinhold and the lasers and him mouthing, fuck you, back to Blade was, again, fantastic. Whether that was an ad lib or not, I don't know. But yeah, those kind of interactions make everything not feel so robotic and stiff. And something vampires, honestly, in a lot of movies are anyway. And this one being nothing but vampires, I think those interactions are all that more important. Once they get up the stairs, it's almost like Resident Evil a little bit, you know, how about those effects with Snowman stabbing old dude and then him crawling up the wall and it's splitting him nearly in half? Amazing. And I know Priest Kill comes up next scene, but the Reaper licking his head wound after he's bit him here and I guess paralyzed him was effective as hell before he went all big mouth. You also know what's coming with Lighthammer too. I mean, they definitely telegraphed that a mile away. And being that we happen to be watching a zombie show and dealing with bites and infections and stuff, that almost seems a little played out to me after I've just watched 7 seasons of that show in 2 weeks. And so I was like, man, okay, well, so that plot line didn't hit like it used to be for me.
You guys ready? I'm about to make another comic book reference, not Marvel. But as they walk up this ragtag bunch of vampires here, this looks like a Suicide Squad full of vamps. Vamp kids.
Look at that. There you go.
Look at that. You see? Yeah. And they really did. I was like, this looks like a ragtag bunch of idiots about to go fight, except for Blade, who always looks badass. But all right. These movies are very of their time because is this not the second one in a row with a goddamn rave scene in the middle of it? Like, I don't exactly remember the first one, but.
Because they had the blood, you know what? Coming down.
Fuck it. The rave looks fun as hell. I'd be in that bitch doing all kinds of stuff. The drunk club guy dance where you just stand behind a woman and bob your hand like you're doing something. That's my favorite. You know, I am enjoying the back and forth banter between Snipes and Perlman here. I think them having that adds a little bit of fun, a little bit of levity, and keeps my interest just enough so far. And I know what's to come, but when I took my notes, I did not. Scud is my favorite character in the movie so far. He's witty. He's funny. He also made me really want some fucking donuts while I was taking my notes here. And this is a complaint, and I've seen it online elsewhere, so it wasn't just me. I wanted to make sure. But I think you guys said you liked, but look, I can't remember, but this main super-duper infected vampire guy, sorry, I didn't write the name, my apologies. He doesn't look scary to me. Like I don't know if they pull off that look where I'm like super concerned with him. Now, once we get to the scenes where his face starts opening up like a Venus flytrap, it's a little different. But like, just his overall look, I'm not a big fan of it personally. And again, in a big city, I have to imagine this is not the first time a big gunfight happening has ever broken up a rave, because that seems to happen all the time. These infected motherfuckers look like little Nosferatus, you know, and I thought that was kind of funny. I was like, wow, I don't know if that probably wasn't on purpose, but that's how they look. I'm sorry.
I read that was inspiration.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah, see, there we go. All right. A little horror knowledge never hurts. More drawn out fighting scene though. Just a lot of fighting scenes. And then we get what I was talking about earlier, some traditional horror elements. I think the mouth expanding on the vampire, the back expanding. I think the effects hold up. They looked great. I will say that's a really wide mouth. Pause. But I mean, it was another fucking fight scene. Jesus Christ. You know, at least this one's on like a balance beam. Okay. Like this is like, you know, Jim Cornette in a scaffold match. Like that's what this reminded me of. I was like, all right, this is fine. But it is another goddamn fight scene. Look, and at this point, I will say, last thing, I promise. At this point, we don't know their weakness yet. Now, we're about to find out, okay? So, my apologies. But that was frustrating until we did. So, I wrote it in my notes. I wanted to make mention of it. But we literally, 2 minutes later, find out what their weakness is. So, I should probably shut the fuck up. Go ahead, Dustin.
Blade hitting the detonator just to flex on Reinhardt here. It was a badass move again. Just had to remind him to stay in line. I love it. When they get inside, I mean, no Blade movie is truly complete without a Vampire Club dance scene. Just feels right. So, yeah, I loved it. Great ad placement with Krispy Kreme box, but man, Scud's palate is in the mud. Donuts and cigarettes? What a nasty combo. A little too convenient, though, that Scud couldn't get the van started. I mean, come on. I get it. But it's just, I'm tired of it in movies at this point. Absolutely disgusting when the mutants or the Reaper's mouths open up like that. It looked great. It was cool, but God dang, that was nasty. Whistler showing up and opening the door like that was funny. I would have been like, where the hell you been, old man? Like, he just fucking disappeared. We'd find out in the next set of scenes where, but Jesus. Pretty cool fight scene with Blade and Nomak at the end of this set of scenes. Great tease for the future. I'm all in.
Our Blade asked Nyssa, why didn't they tell him that they were immune to silver and garlic? Priest is tweaking on the floor, already starting to change into a Reaper. Blade shoots some holes into the roof and the daylight kills him. Whistler left his post saying he had some Reaper action himself. He takes him to a Reaper who got stuck in a culvert. Damaschino says he's willing to lose everyone. Blade discovers the Reapers have to have fresh blood every couple of hours or their metabolism will kill them. Nomak is different since he was the original carrier. Nyssa discovers the virus is only on the tongue. Nyssa is researching more weaknesses than just sunlight. Lighthammer we see is slowly converting to a Reaper from scratches on his back. Blade tells him they hunt at daylight. He tells him he expects not all of them to survive, so they better protect themselves at all times. Scud and Whistler whip up some UV grenades while the others get weaponed up for battle. Nyssa gives him pheromones to attract the Reapers, and Scud shows them the UV grenades. Whistler suggests they split up into three groups. He's given some special glasses so he can see in the dark. Reinhardt and Chupa turn on Whistler and attack him. Lighthammer has turned and attacked Jigsaw. Verlaine pushes open a sewer grate that burns both of them to death. Reinhardt radios to them he's prepping a bomb pack for a group of Reapers. Blade runs to Nyssa, but it's too late. Assad is attacked in the water by a group. Blade attracts them to him and sets off a UV grenade. Blade and Nyssa run off with a bunch of Reapers pursuing. Chupa is jumped by a bunch of Reapers as well until Reinhardt draws some away. They regroup and fight them off. Blade takes the pheromones and orders them down the tunnel. All right, Bryce, next set of scenes, what do you think? And sorry I kind of cut it off in the middle. There was just a lot of action. And honestly, I didn't know where the fuck to stop at, so I just chose there.
Mike with the Jesus Christ, another action scene.
In that setting right there, in the last set of scenes, I had a really long one. Small talking, like a little bit of talking, and then another fucking long ass fight scene. Like, God damn it, man. Can we break these up? Sorry. Go ahead, Brian. My apologies.
No, you're good. Are you fucking kidding me, though, with this putting Priest out of his misery? He's bit by a Reaper, shot in the stomach, point blank range twice, head split in two with a sword, and his brain's hanging out, and then he's burned to death. Holy shit. That was badass. Some crazy shit here, too. Like, during that vampire autopsy scene, over 30 members of the cast and crew were temporarily blinded by misuse of UV lights. That bit of trivia came by way of IMDb. So what the hell, Del Toro? That is gross negligence on a movie set. Shout out Alec Baldwin. But great job again by Steve Johnson and his team. Absolutely gross and fantastic. How about this dialogue? Better get you some sunscreen, Buttercup. Listen, shit kicker, you're about one cunt hair away from hillbilly heaven. I love it when you talk dirty. Holy shit, that was awesome.
Love it.
And then later, not 2 minutes later, we get, they want us to spray on some suck puppies nut juice. That is fucking Shakespearean. David S. Goyer, attaboy. And listen, this exchange between Whistler and Reinhardt really hit home with me. Whistler calls him a cheesy dad thing like Nipplehead. And then Chupa tells him he needs bifocals and calls him Grandpa. This is how I'm treated on this show. I feel this exact exchange probably happened like yesterday in our group chat. It's really unreal, the ageism that goes on. But anyway, last thing and I'll shut up. In this set of scenes, there was supposed to be a sex scene between Blade and Nyssa that was cut. Honestly, that does explain how the two kind of seem to be very close very quickly. Something I've always questioned, but that makes sense. There's around 45 minutes left of the movie now, and we're getting into the third act pretty quickly. Lots of deaths here, a few of which can definitely be picked as worst kill, though. That's for sure.
I'm glad you said that, Brian, because I actually asked, like, when did they get all snuggly? Like, it just happens. Okay, but that answers that, so I don't have to worry about that now. Again, answered my qualm at the end of the last set by, sunlight. Got it. Totally understand. That helps. And again, I like that. I think it makes it more interesting. Man, this one is dying or dead or whatever. And the CGI has like a move, like the mouth is moving the whole time it's laying. Like, oh God, just fucking disgusting. Really realistic too. Just, not for me, man. I will say, how badass. I mean, if you're going to be a vampire, pretty badass if you have a blood infinity pool, right? I mean, that's pretty fucking cool. I mean, hell yeah. That's what a vampire millionaire would have, or a billionaire would have. I mean, what a fucking boss, right? Then they open up this man's mouth and it's like being at the goddamn dentist. Ah, God. I hate teeth, man. Just blew. Hate, anyway. All right. This is the best part of the movie to me because all these funny one-liners are awesome, man. about one cunt hair away from hillbilly heaven is a great fucking line. And honestly, for the brief time that we get it, seeing Whistler and Scud work together warmed my heart. Two of my favorite characters here. I was happy to see it. It all gets thrown to shit later. Suck puppies, nut juice. Awesome. Great line. you know, they were like, I don't know if it was a red herring or maybe just like the wrestling fan of me where like, felt like they kept making Whistler say things or make certain facial expressions where like he was going to turn heel. Like that's like, I don't know if that was intentional, but I took it away from that. Like I know I wasn't probably supposed to, but that's just how I read into it. But yeah, anyway, Nipplehead is actually an incredible insult that I feel is perfectly fitting for Nico Chin. Am I wrong? This man is the Nipple King and Nipplehead is a great fucking name for him. I think that's on point, as the kids would say. We finally get a heel turn. Look at this. Anyway, these tunnels look fucking disgusting. And the last thing I have, I think the sunlight bomb idea or like the explosion thing, really cool. I think the visuals of it are great and really smart. I like that. And then they went and did it again. And I said, that looked awesome. So that's all I had. Go ahead, Dustin.
So, of course, there's a sinister subplot with Damaskinos. Would have been shocked if there wasn't, to be honest. It's a little convenient for Nyssa to just know the tongue is what carries the virus. Pretty big leap in logic there for me. I mean, she only looked in the mouth for like 5 seconds when she came to that conclusion. when the Blood Pack is gearing up with the guns, this is a very the Fast and the Furious ass song that's playing in the background. I was waiting for Dominic and Brian to walk around the corner.
I loved it.
Whistler telling Blade that he was getting cozy with Nyssa was a bit forced to me. Like, they didn't do enough building their dynamic for Whistler to be concerned there. Like you said, Brian, I wish they would have left the sex scene in there, because then it would have made sense that he said that. Great subtlety having Scud be visible over Blade's shoulder when he says, keep your enemies closer. That was great foreshadowing. Dumb move from Verlaine to kill herself, to kill Lighthammer. Like, am I wrong, or did her gun not have a UV light on it? But she chose to shoot him instead and ends up losing her gun and then has to expose herself to the sun to kill him. Dumbass. This is honestly probably my least favorite set of scenes, but I still did like it.
I felt like that Lighthammer turning was kind of like a waste of time, because nothing really happened out of it. I mean, he killed one Blood Pack member. I wish Blade could have saw it. Like, it just, I don't know. They kind of played it up and then it didn't do nothing.
There are some, I think this movie could have been a lot longer. And I know you said that it felt too long to you. There's stuff like that that could have extended the runtime.
Brian made a good point, and you just fucked it. We fucked it all up.
Yeah.
I ain't fucked nothing up. I didn't even say a word.
You didn't have to, son of a bitch.
All right. Reinhardt tells Blade the bomb lever is stuck as he and Nyssa continue shooting more of the Reapers. The bomb finally detonates and takes out most of the Reapers. Nyssa manages to jump into the water before being too badly burned. Nomak appears to Whistler and gives him a ring and wants him to tell Blade the truth and says the name Damaskinos. Blade cuts his wrist and feeds Nyssa his blood. Blade is shot from behind and Reinhardt kicks him in the head. Whistler is attacked and seized as well. Nyssa tells Damaskinos Blade saved her. He is honorable. Whistler says they have been lying since day one. Nomak told Whistler the Reaper strain was designed. Whistler asks Damaskinos how Nomak got this ring. Nyssa storms out and Reinhardt attacks Blade and Whistler. Blade tries to detonate the bomb, but Scud says it's a dud, revealing he's in on it too. Blade reveals he's been on the Scud since day one and detonates the bomb. They seize Blade and Reinhardt takes Whistler away. I think his name's Conan, tells Blade they are going to seize all of his blood, marrow, everything to figure out how to make Daywalkers. Reinhardt shits-talk Whistler, who manages to unlock his handcuffs. Nyssa asks Damaskinos anything else she needs to know. She's pissed she was betrayed by her father. Blade says Nomak's name and says he wants revenge on the people who created him. He tells him Nomak knows the location and he charges the soldiers. Whistler seizes the moment and attacks Reinhardt escapes shooting Conan. Whistler gets Blade free from the table and says don't even think about dying. He awakes but needs blood. Nomak yells for his father and pursues him, killing all the guards in his way. But he escapes in an elevator with Nyssa. And the next set of scenes are ending. Brian, what did you think of the previous set?
Okay, so at the start of this, I don't really understand, because Reinhardt had every one of those, not walkers, Reapers. He had them huddled up. He was hitting them with that UV light, fucking them all up to the point that they weren't even moving. And then he fires what he knows is ineffective shotgun shot. And then he medium dicks then dips. Dumb decision, in my opinion, but I don't know. We do get a great one-shot, though, circling Blade, Nyssa, and Reinhardt fighting off all sides, the oncoming attack. Beautiful shot, I thought. I just wish more of this last 45 minutes would have been the guys getting picked off a little bit better, I guess. You know, Aliens did it right with the Marines, and I just wanted to see more of that. But holy shit, the body count in this is insane. Like 110, according to the facts I could find. How they figured that up, no idea, especially in these sewer shots with these Reapers. Spud's death was great. Great effects on that one. RIP to him. Good thing he has two brothers named Daryl and Merle, who will go on to continue to fight these things later on. A nitpick, though, and it's a common trope, I know, but I noticed this watch through and just how many bad guy monologues there are in this movie. Like, again, they're a trope for a reason, but I wanted to point it out here. Also wanted to point out an Easter egg with the Caliban name of the building. That Caliban reference is twofold. It's a reference to the monster in Shakespeare's The Tempest, but also a reference to the mutant from X-Men, who we see in the best X-Men film of the series, Logan. More trivia I'm sure Mike and Nico were well aware of, but I wanted to let these fans know. So go ahead.
Who? What? Where? What? Logan? Who the fuck is
Logan? You mean Dark Phoenix wasn't your favorite X-Men movie?
Classic.
It was not bad.
I was talking to Brian because that movie actually sucks. That movie's actually trash.
I like it.
I did watch the X-Men cartoon growing up, though. I will say that.
X-Men 97 is fantastic.
It's bad.
I need to get in on that. I'm going to give that a shot. I am going to give that a shot because I liked the cartoon as a kid. Anyway, again, same complaint. All of this is really cool visually. All of it. All the kills. The chaos. But I am ready for them to get past this because I know there's another part of the story coming. There's a twist, right? Like, they didn't really set it up as a twist either. Like, as soon as we're done with these motherfuckers, we're turning on you. And so I was just kind of waiting for that to happen. And then we finally get it. So I was up, you know, it took long enough, in my opinion. This lair or lab or wherever the fuck they are, it looks like a Willy Wonka factory, but for vampires, it really does. I was like, oh, okay. Man, I did not see Scud pulling an HPK, putting Marty through the glass heel turn here, man. They got me. They had me looking in another direction, and they got with Scud. I don't know the story. I'm not involved, so like I don't really know what's going on half the time while watching this movie. I was not expecting Scud to be on the other side. I was sad about that. But then he dies, so fuck it. I had no other way to describe this, so I don't know why I did this in my notes, but some of these vampires' uniforms look a little Third Reich-y. Just throwing that out there. Don't know if that's intentional. Looking just a little Third Reich-y is all. Also, Nyssa. Call me sometime. Okay? Just, if you'd do that for me, that'd be great. You know, the main, you know, last thing, main villain looks like a cross between a vampire and the Creeper. I couldn't figure out exactly, but the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers, which I thought that would, you know, bring the score up for Nico. Maybe he didn't notice it.
Reinhardt getting overtaken was a welcome sight. Sucks that it was false hope, though. Fuck that guy. Nomak spilling the beans about Damaskinos is a good seed to plant. Great added layer to the story. And then a big oh shit moment when Blade is taken out. Scud being a traitor is disappointing. What a long play, though. Like, this man has been with Blade all this time, almost got killed by two girls in a threesome, and it was all just to betray Blade in the long run. I'm not sad he got what was coming to him. It's a little hard to believe to me that Whistler could take Reinhardt out, though. I'm glad he did, but, I mean, come on. He's an old man on one leg. I don't know. Just didn't really buy that. But
he's a highwayman. Come on.
Yeah. This is another solid set of scenes, though, that sets us up nicely for the finish.
All right, guys, here's the ending, and this is my last scene. My scene isn't too long either. Whistler helps Blade walk, and he falls into the pool of blood. He emerges strengthened and fights off all the guards. Blade gets a sword from Reinhardt, asking, "Can you blush?" and cuts him in half with the sword. Whistler tosses Blade his sunglasses and shoots all the embryos. Damaskinos is pissed, and Nyssa reset the passcode, and Nomak enters the room. Damaskinos tries to apologize to Nomak and sweet-talk him. Nomak bites his neck, and he falls to the floor. Nyssa drops a ring by him, and she tells him to finish it off and close the circle. He bites her neck, and Blade appears. He jumps down and stabs a sword through him. The two fight again, both exchanging damage to one another. Nomak goes to bite Blade, but he rams a sword into Nomak's core. He says it's strange. It hurts, but it hurts no more. He pushes the blade in deeper, killing him. Blade goes to Nyssa and holds her. She says she wants to die while still a vampire. I want to see the sun. Blade carries her outside and embraces her until the sunlight kills her off. London. The decoy man from earlier buys a room to see a stripper, but Blade reveals himself, saying, "Then forget him," and stabs him in the skull with his sword as the film ends. All right, Brian, what did you think about that ending?
That ending was really good. A few nitpicks, like how did Whistler get his piece to shoot through that little hole? And then upon further review, I'd like to say that sounded dirtier than intended. But also... Nomak literally opening two sliding doors by himself, but doesn't even try to open the elevator. Okay. And some of the CG with the Blade Nomak fight didn't hold up the greatest at all, but some awesome shit. That shot of Blade coming out of the pool of blood, Mike's pool of blood that he wants, apparently. Goyer said he wrote it specifically to mimic the way Martin Sheen rises from the muddy water in Apocalypse Now. Other awesome shit, Blade beating the fuck out of people immediately after said blood pool shot. And my God, with Reinhardt's kill, Fuck yes. Absolutely fantastic.
First of all, I don't want a blood pool. I said if I were a vampire, I'd probably want a blood pool, yes. So you got there's a definite space put between the two of those things. Anyway, badass visual, a blade coming up from that blood pool. I thought that looked really, really cool. Perfect visual. By the way, I know Dustin caught this too, had to. Snipes hits a pretty crisp suplex there, man. He took a good flat back bump on that. That was good shit. All right, buddy.
Absolutely.
Man's been training down in NXT. Anyway, I love this kill of Reinhardt. Split in half. I'm fucking here for it. I thought it looked awesome. So after this guy bites his own dad, I yelled in my living room, "You deserve it, daddy." Anyway, man. So another fight scene, a really not too long. So I won't nitpick. I was like, God, I thought that we would just get like Blade killing a motherfucker and that would be it. And then he kind of, you know, he loses the fight. Then he kind of unalives himself. Like, I'm trying not to use the S word because of YouTube and everything else they kind of strike you for. Kind of unalives himself in the sun here. But anyway, last thing I have is Nisa doesn't have to do this. She doesn't have to go this way. I can save her. Allow me to save you. That's all I got.
All right. Badass shot when Blade emerged from the bloodbath, re-energized. This fight fires me up every single time, especially when he hits him with the sweet chin music and then shatters the helmet. But again, it's a very Fast and Furious-esque song choice here. 2001, 2002 was a wild time. Almost as wild as Blade hitting a picture-perfect vertical suplex through the glass floor. Yeah, you said it, Mike. That was fucking awesome. Love the recall from earlier when Blade asked Reinhardt if he can blush right before he split him from Gooch to Scalp. That was cool. Admirable move from Nisa to lock them in. Hell yeah, girl. Do the right thing. Kind of disappointed, though, that Nomak bit Nisa. I really wanted her to either be spared or be saved by Blade, but nope. Then Blade got his ass kicked by Nomak, complete with a Macho Man Randy Savage elbow drop off the ceiling. But he, of course, wins in the end, as he should. And then I love the last kill we get. Blade catches up with old boy from earlier and takes him out to give us one last hit of comedy before we leave. Solid ending. All
right, guys. Let's jump into our social media comments and questions. We don't have any for the Book of Faces or Instagram. Dustin, you want to read X for us?
Yeah, let me get it pulled back up here. Sorry. We have one comment, which I'm just going to say, one comment across three social media platforms. What's wrong with you people? This is a fucking classic. But
Slow week, brother.
Andrew Ferguson at Ferg_Berg said, "I don't know of a cooler scene in cinema than when name of the game starts playing. Listen, all you motherfuckers." And he put the video. So I agree. It's badass.
I know. I watched that last night, too. I clicked on it. And I was like, hell yeah.
All right, guys, y'all got any fun facts you want to share?
Yeah, I've got a few. Pop icon Michael Jackson was originally going to have a cameo in the House of Pain sequence as a vampire pimp that Nisa encounters as she searches the upstairs hall. Jackson had to drop out due to scheduling conflicts, and the part was played by a Czech actor. The sequence was ultimately cut out entirely for pacing reasons. Man, that would have been fucking awesome. Although it's often thought that the Reaper vampires in this film served as the inspiration for Guillermo del Toro's vampire series, The Strain, it is actually the opposite that's true. Del Toro had originally conceptualized the Strigoi. I'd have never seen The Strain, so I don't know if that's how you say that, Strigoi, which are the vampire antagonists in The Strain. Many years prior to the creation of Blade 2, he utilized his own original concept and changed certain aspects about it for Blade 2 so that it would still stand somewhat independently of his original work. As of 2017, this is the only film on Del Toro's filmography in which he has no writing credit. And the last thing, the final scene where Blade hides behind the bunny booth glass waiting for Rush. I love that scene, by the way. I didn't say that in the review, but I do love it. It's incredibly similar to a scene in The Crow, City of Angels, where The Crow does exactly the same thing. Both movies have many similarities in set pieces and costume design. Yet this scene is almost identical in both films, and that is because it's plausible to concede that after the critical and financial failure of this first Crow sequel, David S. Goyer could include this scene without scrutiny, having written both films himself.
All right. I got a few here. Brian, if I repeat you on any of these, I apologize. You can just make it look like I didn't. To get the movie with an R rating, green blood was used for the Reapers. And then the last one I've got is that Tim Curry was considered for Dumasquinos. So that would have been kind of cool.
Oh, Tim Curry would have been dope.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. That would have, man, that would have
I didn't say that one.
This is the part where I talk about the money, huh? All right. The budget was a whopping $54 million and a box office of $155 million worldwide. Pretty solid make back on your budget there for sure. And then we get Blade Trinity, correct? Right?
Trilogy.
It's Trinity.
Blade.
Yeah.
Oh, it is Trinity?
Yeah.
Yeah, the third movie.
Yeah, with, Blade Trinity. Yeah. That's what I was saying the whole time.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't know. You could have told me it was Trilogy, and I would have been like, yeah, that sounds great. I just could have swore it was Trinity.
I wiped that movie from my memory. I own it. Like Brian knows I have to, but
is Ryan Reynolds in that too, right?
Dude, the cast is phenomenal. I'm going to pick it eventually just because we need to do all three of them, but the cast is phenomenal. You've got Ryan Reynolds.
I don't need to see Triple H in a movie, man.
It's funny. I mean, it's good.
You've got Parker Posey in it.
Parker Posey.
Jessica Biel's in it as well. Paul Levesque, you may have heard of him.
No, never.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's all about the game, how you play it.
It's disappointing, but if it's one of those where you go back and watch it all these years later,
I've been told
you can
that
just
before.
Appreciate it being back. Whoa.
When I said I've heard I was disappointing, it wasn't from a woman. It's from Asian parents. Anywho. Just kidding. They're proud of me sometimes. All right, let's jump into the rating. Favorite kill and least favorite kill. Favorite kill, I'm going to go with Scud just because I did like his reveal, but I thought his kill was cool. Least favorite kill. A lot of basic ones. My least favorite kill I'm going to go with, though, is Reinhardt, just because I thought he deserved to get his ass kicked more. Like, he needed to get his ass kicked like Ed did in episode 4 of The Walking Dead. I think it was episode 4. Like, he needed that kind of ass beating before he just got cut in half. And I didn't think the cut in half looked that great either. All right, rating, I'm going to be short and sweet. Was this movie bad? No. But was it for me? Nah, I thought it was too long. I just thought the fighting got a little monotonous to me personally. And like we were mentioning at the beginning of the show, the story just doesn't hook me like an Underworld does. Because I feel like Underworld, while there is a lot of action, I can follow that story a lot more than this one. And I don't know why. Wesley Snipes is great as Blade. I love Kris Kristofferson. He was a highwayman. Love that song. But yeah, I'm just going to give this movie the exact same score as the first one, 5.5. And Dustin's going to be way higher than me on the next one. And it's called Balance.
Yeah, no, hey, I can live with a 5.5. Favorite kill for me was Scud because he deserved it, and Blade turning out to be two steps ahead of him was great and well executed. Least favorite kill, I don't know, man. I didn't really have one. Maybe Nyssa, though, because I wanted her to live. Like, I wanted her to be saved. As far as my final thoughts in the rating, like I said, high marks across the board for this movie. This is probably my favorite Marvel movie, or the best one, if not my favorite, slash more, you know. Enjoyability factors in some for some of the like Guardians of the Galaxy. I love that movie. But anyway, I gave Blade a 8.25, and I like this one considerably more. So I gave it a full point more, 9.25.
All right. My favorite kill is actually Reinhardt. I like the split in half kill. I thought that looked pretty cool. My least favorite is Nyssa because I wanted her to come home to me instead. Anyway, yeah, all the things, all the notes that Nico and I already hit, I completely agree. There's good stuff. There's stuff I just feel like it's monotonous. And what you said, Nico, I'm going to sum up why I would take Underworld over this. And it's because I feel like Underworld is a story with some action. And I feel like this movie is action with a little bit of story. And I need a better balance of the two to keep my interest, I would guess. But again, there was a lot of good. Snipes is good. The visuals are awesome. I think a lot of the other acting is really good. Just not my cup of tea. Not something I need to turn on ever again. But hey, I can say that I saw it, and I can say that it's just not my cup of tea. But I'm willing to give this a 6.5.
All right, my favorite kill, Lighthammer. How he had his head licked in the first bite wound there, and then his fucking skull cut off, and then he was burned to death. Loved it. My least favorite kill was actually Snowman being killed off screen by Lighthammer. By the way, Lighthammer, my nickname in college. We didn't talk about that. But anyway, bottom line, is this movie perfect? No, but I absolutely love it. It's, you know, it's this, my enjoyment of this and making it my favorite comic book movie, right there with Batman 89, Batman Returns, Logan, Days of Future Past, The Dark Knight. Slot this into the perfect 10 category for your boy.
All right. So that gives us a composite score of a 7.8125. Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb are both off their fucking rockers. Rotten Tomatoes has it at a 57%, and IMDb has it at a 6.7.
It's crazy.
Honestly, though, 6.7 is not terrible for IMDb. I mean, it can be pretty nitpicky on there. But no, I feel you. Y'all got any final thoughts on Blade 2 before I shout out our blood donors and I'll announce our blood donor pick for next week?
Nope, let's do it.
All right. We really appreciate our blood donors. Christina Tower is a final girl donor. We'll be reviewing her pick next week, The Mist. Camper Level Reoccurring, Clayton J., Nina, Michelle Mirza, the Horror Movie Crew Podcast, Alex Seligson, and Michael Evans. Camp Counselor Reoccurring, Edwin Hernandez Gunn, Joe Swinford Shan, Adrian Aiello, Brian Samick, Andrew Ferguson, Matt Strickland, Brooke Maley, Thorne David Phillips, Heather Superdoc, Jennifer Davis from the Too Close to Home Podcast. If you're a true crime fan, go check that out. And a new Camp Counselor blood donor, Dana Tucker. She's a big fan. We really appreciate y'all. Takes a big burden off of us. And I already announced our pick because, you know, she picked it. Christina Tower, The Mist. I'm excited to watch it. I am scared because, kind of like The Sixth Sense, I know that movie hinges a lot on the big ending. And I already have had it spoiled. So I hope I can still appreciate the rest of the movie. Guys, any final thoughts before we get out of here? Good theme, Mike. This was a really well-balanced month. We really appreciate y'all tuning in, and y'all have a good one. We'll be back next week. Just want to remind everybody.